Hi, welcome to Astrology Talk Investigate with me, Christina Rodenbeck from the Oxford Astrologer, and my friend and colleague, Sally Kirkman from sallykirkman.com. And this week we are going to be talking about Marvel Comics. What is our question exactly, Sally?
Our question is, what's the power behind Marvel? Marvel films, massive. It's a massive franchise. And I would think most people know that it started with Marvel Comics, but perhaps not everybody does. And it's been going for a long, long time, hasn't it, actually? I mean, I know it's like, you know, there's this, the movies are just mega now. The Spider-Man, Iron Man, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. There's always a new Marvel movie coming out. I'm very much sort of in the zeitgeist at the moment. But it started a long time ago, didn't it?
31st of August, 1939 is the start date that we have in New York, New York. I think it was started, as Timely Comics, and then it became Marvel a few years later. And I love the word Marvel, which is the same as kind of wonder, to wonder, the wonders of the universe, the marvels of the universe. And that, and it's got a very prominent Uranus, which is a planet of marvelousness. But it was born as a Virgo. It's got a Virgo sun.
Yeah, which is lovely, isn't it? For, you know, comics are all about writing. And it's a Sun-Venus conjunction in Virgo, you know, where the first edition, the first comic came out. So it's literally this love of writing and drawing and making, you know, making comics, which just sort of fits the symbolism of it.
It's also, I mean, it was also born on a very beautiful trine between Neptune, which is the planet of imagination and vast imagination and collective imagination and universal stuff, making a fantastic trine from Virgo again, the sign of story, one of the storyteller signs, to that Uranus in Taurus. And the Uranus in Taurus, which is remarkable actually, is in the same place that it is this year, 2024. It's at 21 degrees of Taurus, which is about making wonders manifest. It's about making genius actually tangible. And so you have that, it's a really amazing combination. It's very earthy, this chart, is it not?
It is. I mean, and Earth is the sign of longevity, isn't it? The Earth signs Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, and that Sun Venus is in a lovely trine aspect to Saturn in Taurus. And Saturn, you know, when things begin under Saturn, really, they're likely to last. They're likely to go on. And, you know, this has, I mean, it's almost 100 years, hasn't it, that Marvel, and I can't see it fading anytime soon, if I'm honest. And I do think, I mean, you've picked up on that Uranus at 21 Taurus, Christina, which, you know, I kind of hadn't clocked when I was looking at the chart. And that is extraordinary that we're talking about this, you know, in the month when there's going to be a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus at 21 degrees. So it's the Uranus return of Marvel Comics. I mean, you know, we kind of, when we talk about, you know, what subjects we're going to talk about, let's do Marvel. And then, of course, we're meant to be doing Marvel this month because it's kind of, zing, here it is again. It's really, really timely.
Boing! And it's also going to be something huge is going to come out of Marvel, isn't it? Some massive kind of... And the franchise, you know, they have created this incredible Marvel MCU, the Marvel Universe, in the 2010s, since Iron Man, really, since 2008. But also, I want to point out that Saturn makes a conjunction to the South Node, also in Taurus, at 0 degrees of Taurus. So what's happening to that? It's getting a square from Pluto. But also, South Node is about distribution. It's about publishing. It's about spreading the word. So you're making all of these little Saturn things, little comic books in 1939, and you're spreading them out. So obviously collector's items as well. And the other thing that's really earthy in this is there's Mars in Capricorn creates a grand trine with the Neptune, Uranus, Mars. So you've got action comes in. And what is Mars but a superhero? Of course, it's these long-lived superheroes are coming in. They're all kind of Marsy and like, you know, they're always fighting battles. Let's face it. That's what the Marvel, most of the Marvel universe is about, is fighting.
Absolutely. I mean, they're action movies, aren't they? So when you're looking at this, you want to say, where is the superhero? And it's that Mars likes to be in Capricorn. It's strong. It's, you know, it can kind of conquer things in Capricorn, and it is in that incredible grand earth trine. The other thing that I want to point out, I mean, we don't know the exact time when the, you know, published. I mean, I drew this up for 6 a.m. thinking often that's when publications would go out early in the day. And I'd like to think this was the time this first comic went out, because if this is the correct time, then the moon is in Pisces. You know, the fantasy opposite that Neptune, there's a moon Neptune opposition. And again, you would expect that, because this has been, it's the fantasy world, isn't it? These movies, it's, you know, it's the alternative universe, kind of the place you can go and escape, and really kind of romantic, creative. There's quite often love stories, I think, in these as well, aren't there, going on in some shape or form?
Do you know what? No, it's not the important thing. It is not. The important thing is pow, bang, crash.
Yeah, Mars. Mars.
Mars. It really is. It's Marsy stuff. And, you know, it's true about the alternative universe. And I do think that's a really interesting concept. This is an alternative reality. And I think that is partly the Uranian thing again. Is Uranus is all about alternatives. Oh, we could do this or we could do that. You know, and it clicks right in with that Moon-Neptune opposition, right? So these are fantasy alternative universes. Of course, this is fantasy. But I think we also, so there's the power, really. What's the power behind it? It's that Uranian power. It's got the power of genius behind it. You know, at plus that Uranus, Neptune, Mars combination. To me, that's the kind of this. That's the extra kind of oomph that it's got. And I think we should look at the chart of Stan Lee as well, of course.
I mean, just to say, to put into Timely Comics was, it was a family-run business. And Stan, I think Stan Lee, he did have a connection. His cousin was Martin Goodman's wife, who was kind of the first person around this. But it was Stan Lee who really became the name behind Marvel. And yeah, we should absolutely look at his chart, because what I see with that first comic, we've got the power there, but that kind of Sun, Venus in Virgo is lovely for writing the comics, but it needed almost something else or someone else to really make it into the kind of empire that it wanted to be. And here comes Stan Lee, actually.
It's amazing synastry that he's got with this chart, isn't it? I mean, just incredible. Stan Lee was an incredible powerhouse of creativity, ideas, money-making. I think that I read recently, this is Wikipedia, I'm quoting Wikipedia, that he is one of the richest. He's made more money out of movies than any other single individual, because he's credited as producer on all these things, and he acted in stuff, and he got percentages out of everything. And so he was not only this creative person who was writing the comics, that's how he started off. I think he started off as the tea boy, actually. But he was writing, he had the ideas. He's an ideas guy. And oh my word, his chart is an ideas chart, isn't it?
And a power chart.
Absolutely. 28th of December, 1922. We don't know the time. New York again. So he grew up in great poverty, didn't he? He was poor. He was born poor and ended up super wealthy, which is so interesting for someone with a Pluto sun opposition, right? You go from one thing to the other. And it's through really hard work. He loved work. Right. So Capricorn, his son is in Capricorn. He loved work. But what I really notice about this chart is the conjunction of Uranus and Mars.
I mean, and it's not just, well, Mars, Uranus. Yeah, we've got that Mars, Uranus conjunction So there's, is that the action hero again, that Mars in Pisces, now very creative, but next to Uranus, so inventive, so innovative. And it's not just on its own, that Mars-Uranus conjunction. There's a fantastic, it's actually a planetary pattern called a kite, because there's a grand water trine, Mars-Uranus in Pisces, Jupiter in Scorpio, Pluto in Cancer, all connected to that sun in Capricorn, the empire builder. And it's the most fantastic, powerful combination. I mean, kites are really interesting planetary patterns. And at their best, they allow you to fly high like a kite. I mean, there's something, you know, you're on a trajectory of success. And the apex of the kite is this sun in Capricorn. I mean, that lovely, you know, the comics, which we can see in that Sun, Venus, Virgo in the original chart, they needed someone who could build it into an empire. And Stan Lee was the man. I mean, he really was the man. It's an incredibly powerful chart, in my opinion. And he, big ambition. You know, Jupiter, Pluto stuff is often about big wealth, big power. Really, really strong, powerful, go-getting. And that's what was needed to take it to kind of the next level.
Yeah, and it's the power of imagination. That's what he had. He had imaginative power. So he, and that's this conjunction of Uranus and Mars in Pisces. And as I was, we were saying before, it clicks in with the genius possibilities of the Marvel Comics chart itself. And probably he has it on the moon of that Marvel Comics chart. So he's making connection with the moon. The other thing is, I mean, the grand trine in water is fantastic, right? But grand trines can go kind of just float around if they're in water. It's that, it's because it clicks in with his earthy Capricorn sun, which has got ambition, which has got strategy, which has got drive, which writes the contracts, you know. So and that Capricorn sun fits in with the earthiness of the other chart, of the Marvel Comics chart. So they're singing together really, really well, these charts. So he's bringing in that imagination and that boundlessness. And Marvel Comics, actually, one of the things about having that, the fact that it has the sun in Virgo, means there's a certain level of perfectionism. You know, the quality products. I mean, I know it's pulp, right? This is pulp stuff, but it's quality pulp stuff. The drawing is great in some of the, in those early in comics in general. I love comic books. But, you know, the drawing is great. The graphics are incredible. I can take or leave a lot of the stories, but, you know, it's amazing the teamwork that goes into those. And Stan Lee did stuff like he made sure that everybody was credited, and he made it really personal. So he has this sense of he's very good with like the collective imagination, I think.
Yeah. And I like also that, you know, and this was the thing with the comics. I mean, there was Marvel had a crisis in the 1990s. And that's when they started selling the comics, because comics were, you know, they weren't as popular as they used to be. So they had to do something else. And that's when they started selling the film rights to the characters. It was the film rights to the characters. And I love that, you know, Stan Lee's chart, he's got that Sun-Pluto opposition. And Pluto is so often the survivor and can kind of reinvent itself, be transformed into something new. So it was this, you know, it was from comics to films, and then it became this really powerful franchise. And just to say now, you know, it's they are quality. The movies too are quality. I mean, a lot of them now are up for Oscar nominations as well, for visual effects and different things. And last year was the first year that Angela Bassett was nominated for an Oscar for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever as well. So, you know, people want to be in them now. And you get a lot of the big stars in them too, don't you? So, you know, I can only see them growing and growing. I know it's the Uranus return of Marvel Comics, but I think they're going to be a powerhouse moving forward too. Thanks to Stan Lee, a lot of it, because it looks like he was the guy really to make it into this empire.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that it's a very, it, they've also had a very crushing effect on film in a way, in that they're these huge blockbuster mega movies with special effects and everything. But these are not explorations of the human condition in a subtle and sensitive way, particularly, are they? They're just massive archetypes battling it out. I have one more thing to say about Stan Lee, which I find personally, I find this really interesting. He was married for 69 years to his wife. He had a marriage that was like a rock, which can be incredibly useful if you're someone with a watery grand trine and you need that steadiness in your life. And I see that marriage really strongly in this chart, in that he has this beautiful, again, what a lucky guy. He's incredibly fortunate. The grand trine is fortunate, especially when it includes Jupiter like this. His Jupiter is exactly opposite to Juno, which is the asteroid of marriage, but it's of commitment, you know. When you get Jupiter, Juno working together in a chart, it can be really helpful. And this is a particular opposition across the fixed signs. So fixed means non-moving signs of Taurus and Scorpio. So that's this very, very steady marriage right in the middle of his life that helps him. It's a springboard, you know, when you have a marriage that works.
And that, I mean, you know, I think he's probably Moon Taurus. So we don't know exactly because we haven't got the time. But
I think so too.
I think so. And I think that Moon is probably closer to Juno and picking up the opposition to Jupiter. And that's, you know, that is the rock in his life, isn't it? The woman who was there throughout.
And if the Moon's in Taurus, then it clicks in with the whole Marvel Comics chart. He would have had it on the South Node.
Good. Okay. What's the power behind Marvel?
Stan Lee.